Okay, so let's do it. So we're doing Nusagya, right? Okay, so we're doing Nusagya about Kiddush Hashem. Okay, and I guess more specifically about whether Ben Noach, a non-Jew who keeps the Noahide laws, is obligated in Kiddush Hashem, and basically dying to sanctify the name of God. Okay, which we'll get into the details, but. But in order to do that, I mean, it's going to run into the sugya of Kiddush Hashem altogether. Okay. So we're not going to cover the entire sugya, but so certain things we're going to have to do. So let's start off. The Gemara is on Sanhedrin, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Ba'umine, it's like 8-9 lines up from the bottom. Ba'umine Merabami Merabami. So they asked Rabbi Ami. Ben Noach mitzuv al kiddush Hashem, or ain't mitzuv al kiddush Hashem. So is a Ben Noach obligated in the midst of kiddush Hashem? Okay. So what is it here? Rashi this explains. He said, "What does it mean?" It's a Ben Noach mitzuv al zchab. Okay. So Ben Noach, for instance, is commanded not to worship at zara. Kedamon dal misos. V'im avar v'im omar avor v'al tehoreg. If they tell him. Violate so that we don't kill you. In other words, they give him a choice. Either by a violate of Avodah Zarah or we'll kill you. Mitzvah hi lekadesh Hashem alone. Is it a mitzvah for him to sanctify God's name? To avoid bowing down, avoid Avodah Zarah in order to reflect an idea of something as commitment to God? Or is he not commanded to do that? Okay? Fine. Now, would you say from this, is it only by Avodah Zarah the Rashi? Is that what Rashi is doing? That's what Rabbi Shimon told him. I think when I first learned this, we didn't say that. We didn't notice that. But he wanted to claim, maybe a few months back, he told me when I get to it, look at it. But he says, you see Rashi saying he's mentioning specifically Avodah Zarah. Because he's a Ben Noach is commanded in Avodah Zarah, and if he tells you to, violate and don't get killed, does he have to or not? It's a good question. Is it only by Avodah Zarah here? Like, let's say, because, for instance, a Jew has to give his life for Avodah Zarah, or for Gilui Raos, for sexual prohibitions, and for killing. So let's say, now Ben Noach is commanded in certain sexual things. Okay? Can't marry or sleep with a married woman. Sleep with his mother, I think, daughter and father, whatever. There's certain ones that they're commanded in. So let's say someone tells them to do that, or it'll kill them. Right? Why is it just saying about Zara? Or is it just saying about Zara? That's maybe not. Maybe that's maybe not. But Rashi somehow seems like he's mentioning about Zara. He could say just an example, but it's funny. Okay, fine. And then, I don't know, there's another Rashi you'll see, and maybe it's against it, whatever. But whatever it is, so let's keep that in the mind. But the question basically is, are they obligated to give their life for Avodah Zarah? Okay? So the Gemara says, Tashma, I'll bring a proof. So there's the Braisa, Sheva, Mitzvah, and Sabrei Noach. So there's seven Mitzvahs, Sheva, Mitzvah, and Noach, seven Mitzvahs with seven Noachide laws. And if you look at them, now one of them is not Kiddush Hashem. Is not right. And it's part of 613 mitzvahs. One of the mitzvahs is sanctifying God's name, Kiddush Hashem. But in the seven, it's not one of the seven. It's not one of the seven. So doesn't that prove that they're not obligated to that? So the Gemara says, "As Misa Tam Nehavian." If you don't tell me they'd be chayes, then there should be eight. Okay, there should be eight. Right? Tamni is Shmona. Right? Taf and Shin are interchangeable sometimes. So Tamni is like Shmona. Okay, so there should be eight. So Amar Le Rava. So Rava says, no, that's not a good proof, because Inhu V'Chol Ab Israel. So no, it means them and all their related stuff. Okay, is that a technical definition of Ab Israel? Related stuff, something like that, right? Rashi says, Kol Ni Did Shayich Bu Kedusha Hashem Shayich Buhu. So any matter which Kedusha Hashem is relevant, is relevant to them. Okay, anything which Kedusha Hashem is relevant to them, I guess, to the in those mitzvahs. Im Omer lo lavar al osan mitzvos, o yoreg this, if they tell them to violate those mitzvos or get killed, im lo yikadish es Hashem, and if not, okay, fine. Yeah, maybe right. This is so. If they tell him to violate one of these mitzvahs or to be killed, and if he doesn't sanctify God's name, he's going to be over. Those are the choices: either to sanctify God's name or to violate. Right? I'm sorry. Look at Hashem, Yavarlem, and if he doesn't sanctify God's name, then he's going to violate these mitzvahs. Right? Look at Chaynami b'chalano. So, in other words, it means because, for instance, it means let's say Vatzara. So what it's saying is that they put a gun to your head and tell you not to do Odzar. Okay, so maybe you'll tell me that I'm obligated to sanctify God's name. What does that mean? I have to keep a Odzara even in the face of the gun to my head. So that comes under the Isra of Odzara. Odzara is one of the seven. So it comes under that. It's like, so to speak, the extent of my vigilance to Odzara that I have to even do it if it means my life. Right, so therefore, it's not counted as an additional mitzvah. It's a detail. It's the extent of my obligation to these seven mitzvahs. That's what it means. Is that when it counts to seven, it means seven and all their related stuff, all their related halachas. Okay. Right. Okay. So basically, it's the reason why I have to do it might be because of Kiddush Hashem. But the bottom line is, it's telling me that I have to keep this mitzvah even at the expense of my death, of my life. So therefore, it's classified under the mitzvah. So you can't prove from the fact there are only seven that it's that really it's they're not obligated. Maybe they are obligated, but it just comes under the seven. It comes under these. Now here he's not limiting himself only to Avodah Zarah, right? I mean, you could argue from here he's talking about other ones also. I mean, could just say he's just showing an example, but. And while if he's still only if the whole thing is only about Zara, he should have limited himself like that. So it's not clear. It's not so clear from that from what Rashi's holding about that. But for our purpose, let's leave that out for now. Okay. So basically, so you can't prove it. You can't prove whether they're obligated or not from the count of seven that it doesn't include Kiddush Hashem, because maybe it's included, but it just comes under the seven. Okay. I'm sorry, so my Avela, so what's the conclusion? Right? The Gemara doesn't know, so what's the conclusion? Right? So you can't prove it from there, so what's the psak? Are they or are they not? This is a kind of practical question, right? Shir ben Noah. Amar Rav Adar Barava, Amar Ibe Rav, Ksiv. Okay, this is a pasuk. Dabar hazeh yislach Hashem la'avdecha. Okay, so who said this again?
Naaman
said, and who is he talking to?
Elisha.
Elisha, and he says, in this matter, Hashem should forgive your servant. When my master came into this house of Avodah Zarah to bow there, and he like leaned on my hand, I guess pressured me to bow, and I bowed. Okay, so under the pressure of my master, so I bowed down, and he was saying, so he'll probably forgive me for that. And he said to him, okay, go in peace. So implying it's okay. Don't worry about it. You're okay. That wasn't wrong. You did the right thing. And if you'll tell me that a ben Noach has to keep Kiddush Hashem, so then you shouldn't have told him go in peace. You should have said, no, that was an avera. You shouldn't have done that. You should have given your life. Because right, that's what Naaman was trying. He was trying to argue that I was kind of forced. So if you tell me that there's no such thing as force, you have to give your life for Avodah Zarah, then you should have reprimanded him. After Naaman accepted not to worship Zorah, Shani Anus B'davar is forced. Shadoni Nishan La Yadi. My master leaned on me. He says, you're right. So there's one thing is that you say you're not obligated to correct Ben Noach if he does something wrong. But the Ben Noach is saying to him, hey, is it okay I did this thing? Don't agree that it's okay. You shouldn't agree that you're not allowed to do. So if it were the fact that Ben Noach had to give his life for Kiddush Hashem, then Elisha should have said, no, you did the wrong thing. But the implication from this story is that it's the right thing. Ben Noach's not obligated to give their life, in a void of Odzah. So Gemara says now, so it says, no, really it's not a proof. Maybe really a guy is obligated to give their life. But that story was in private. Right? So I was in private. Rashi. Now in Betzinaya. And this is difficult. There were no Jews in this idolatry house that they were vowing there. We got Kedushas Hashem, and regarding Kedushas Hashem, Besoch B'nei Yisrael, except. Says v'nikdashti, and you should sanctify me within amongst Chai Yisrael, amongst the Jewish people. V'nei Yisrael. V'afilu nitzav v'nei Noach aleha. Even if v'nei Noach are commanded in Kiddush Hashem, lo nitzav v'kadosh b'soch hakusim, kal b'soch Yisrael. They're not commanded to v'kadosh Hashem amongst Goyim, only amongst Jews. So it means v'kadosh Hashem, first of all, is only in public. He's saying it is, and only in public means not just public. It means 10 Jews. Public is defined by 10, but not just 10 people, 10 Jews. So the thing is, the story by Naaman was a story which is not in front of 10 Jews, therefore it's defined as private, and therefore maybe that's why he wasn't obligated to give his life for it. But really, if it were in public in front of 10 Jews, so then maybe he would have to give his life. Okay? And therefore the Gemara basically ends up not proving it. But further is other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Interesting other stuff, but other stuff. Okay? Fine. We all not. Right. We all do not know what we do. I think we do. Ram does. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Fine. The Tosus also says it seems like we pass it, they don't have to. So this is the Gemara, right? This is the Gemara. Any questions? Okay, so Shai is asking a good question, which I'll bolster by the Ram Pirshim and Sefer Mitzvos. Hopefully this one has it right. But basically, for Jews, Kiddush Hashem is one of the 613 mitzvahs. It's a separate mitzvah. Okay, it's a separate mitzvah. So therefore Shai is asking, so what do you mean it's seven and all their parts? But it's not, doesn't work that way by Jews. Right, is that what you're saying? So it's only part of it if there's seven mitzvahs of Kiddush Hashem, but it should have been eight. So it's true, it applies to these seven mitzvahs, but I mean, it still is a seven mitzvah. It's by Jews it is. In fact, so that's a good question. But, you know, you could give answers. You could give answers. Maybe they're different, Jews and Goyim are different, something like that. But you'll see the Rambam, when he's trying to prove, and this is a very funny problem, but the Rambam is trying to prove, well, he does this in most mitzvahs, in the Sefer mitzvahs, he tries to prove that they're a mitzvah, right? So oftentimes there's open statements from Chazal, which basically state that it's a mitzvah. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs, so that's good. That he brings those down if they exist, okay? So he says here he wants to prove it. So in regard to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, the question is, how do you know it's counted as a mitzvah? So he tries to prove it. Okay, and this is around in the Sefer Mitzvahs. So he says, V'gemara amru ben Noach, he's probably proving it. Ben Noach mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, mitzvah. Tashma, I'll prove to you that ben Noach is not commanded. Hashem is not ben Noach. They meet at the Omer, Tamanya Havya, Havu. And if it really were one of them, it should have said eight. Should have said eight. Right? So he needs baruch Hashem, mechal minyan mitzvahs, like ha mechai v'Yisrael. So you see that this is really one of the mitzvahs. This should be counted as a mitzvah. Right? He says, you see that the Gemara over here says that, and if you want to tell me that Ben Noach is commanded, so it should have been eight. So you see that that really is counted. You see it's counted. Right? So that's his raya. That's his proof that by the Jews, it's counted as one of the 613. Okay? So what's the problem? That was the Havmin of the Gemara, right? That's what the Gemara thought, that it should have been eight, but it's not eight, and the Gemara doesn't accept that. The Gemara says, no, maybe really it's seven, and you don't count it because it's included under the seven. So how's the Rambam just ripping off the beginning of the Gemara and using that as a proof that it's counted? It's really, he's stopping halfway. Right? That's what Rav answered back.
What's the proof?
Rambam's proof?
Yeah.
Rambam's proving, he wants to know, is it counted as a mitzvah or not? Yeah. So he says, I'll prove it to you. Because the Gemara says, he wants to know, is it ben or chayv in Kiddush Hashem or not? Yeah. So he says, I'll prove it to you that he's not, because it says there's seven mitzvahs. And one of them is not Kiddush Hashem. And if he was obligated to Kiddush Hashem, it should have been counted as a mitzvah. So the Rambam says, ah, see, I showed you. If you say the Kiddush Hashem should be counted as a mitzvah.
He's saying we know that we're obligated.
Yeah, obviously we're obligated. The question is it counted as a mitzvah or not? Is it the type of thing that you count as a mitzvah? So you see from this Gemara that if a Ben Noah who are obligated in it, the Gemara is saying it should have been counted as one of the eight mitzvahs. So therefore, that's a proof that it's a mitzvah. But the question is, that was only the first step of the Gemara. The Gemara rejected it and said, no, really, I'll tell you they are obligated in it, but it comes under the other seven. So maybe we're obligated and it comes under the other 612. Or whatever, right? So how are you proving from there that that is a mitzvah? Right? It's like a real, it's a very bothersome rabbi. It's like he's just, you know.
And
right, exactly. Yeah, right. Here's a good question. Maybe that's a very bothersome question. Is that the Amarim Shach is the idea? I mean, you would have asked me before I saw this Gemara, you would have said that Kiddush Hashem is for Jews. Right? Being Dashti B'Selach B'nei Yisrael, and I'll be sanctified. Well, you should sanctify me amongst Kal Yisrael. That's the mission of the Jewish people, is to teach about God to the world, and that's the Jewish mission. The mitzvahs are Kiddush Hashem. That's all says in the mitzvahs, is we're teaching the world about God. And therefore, I would have thought Kiddush Hashem is only to Jews. The pasuk sounds that way. But apparently, it seems the Gemara is calling that into question and saying, no, maybe Bnei Noach also are obligating Kiddush Hashem. So fine. So if that's the case, now then why is it that a Bnei Noach is only obligated in front of 10 Jews? So you'll say, well, of course, because Kiddush Hashem is only a Jew. Oh, so then Bnei Noach shouldn't be chayev. I mean, doesn't the idea of saying he's chayev mean that he is an entity? He is relevant to the parsha, to the area of Kiddush Hashem? And if he is, then why is it in front of 10 goyim? Right, why is it in front of 10 goyim? Why shouldn't it be in front of 10 Jews? Right? And altogether, the halacha of the Kiddush Hashem is in front of 10 Jews. It's a funny halacha. Okay, why? What's funny about that? Right. Right. Exactly. It's a funny thing. Joseph says that isn't the whole idea of Kiddush Hashem is that we're trying to be Mechadash Shem Hashem to the world? Right? So what does it mean Kiddush Hashem before Mechal Hashem before Hesio or Bitsina? It means I could be in front of the whole world of Gaim. Thousands and thousands of Gaim, showing them a wrong idea about God. You say, oh, that's just Tzina, Kiddush Hashem Tzina. Who knows about it? Only 50,000 Goyim. But at 10 Jews, that's it. Now that's defined as Farhasya. I mean, isn't the whole idea of Kiddush Hashem to the... Why is that the definition of Farhasya? In front of Jews. 10 Jews. Isn't the idea, like they always tell you, what? Be careful, make a Kiddush Hashem to the bus driver, right? They tell you in there, you know, the Goyish bus driver. They never tell you, make Kiddush Hashem to your Jewish, you know, to your Rebbe or to your Jewish whatever. I mean, presumably the idea, you'd think the idea is for outsiders. But the halacha of Kiddush Hashem seemingly is not only to in public, but you'd think the idea of public shouldn't be only to Jews, right? It's funny. It's funny altogether, the halacha. I mean, the whole idea of that is funny. So I don't know. Somehow, like I have this thought, or somehow, like they say, or someone says, or you could say, well, otherwise it's not defined as a minyan, or you know, there's no tzira for it's not defined as public without 10 people, because 10 goyim halachically don't have any tzira for any joint, any halachic union to one another. So there's no such thing as like a group of 10. But I don't know. Something's bothersome about that. It's like it's a halachic answer. It's true, you know. I kind of hear that, but I don't know. Maybe that's the answer, I'm not sure, but it's bothersome. I mean, it's like a halachic thing. You say, look, technically there's no idea of tzev for Hesio, because every guy is an individual. So by 10, there's a phenomenon of an entity of 10 Jews. So halachically, there's a group. But I mean, I don't know, it's hard to say there's no such thing as a group of Goyim. I mean, it's true there's no idea of a minion of Goyim, but I mean, there's no such thing as a nation or of a public. I mean, it's hard, I know, so it's difficult. So, I mean, but I'm not saying you could try to give an approach like that, but you know. You have to make it a little more palatable than that. Yeah, okay. I guess we'll do it. So Tov Shai is mentioning a question Tov asks. But he says, the Tov's on the bottom, and also like Kiddush Hashem. Because he says, in Tomar, v'chai b'hem b'yisrael k'siv, v'fil yisrael ha'im v'chai b'lim tzara atzman v'fil v'tzina, y'lo d'ksiv v'chai b'hem. So the idea is like this, is that this is interesting, is that why is it, what would I think? Tov says you're not allowed to eat treif. So now, what would be my natural assumption? If someone puts a gun to my head and says, eat treif, so you have to die. So you could argue both ways, but it would seem, here's an argument, then theory, you have to die. God said, God made us, he says, don't eat treif. So now a guy's going to kill you, okay, tough break. Okay, but you're not allowed to eat treif. And that's true, it seems, Tosa says, because how do we know that you're allowed to eat treif? Because the pasuk says, v'chai b'hem, and you should live by them. This Torah is a mitzvah of life. It's a way of life. And therefore, the Torah doesn't demand, in general, that you give up your life. Rather, it's insofar as you're living, this is the way in which you should live. But it doesn't say you have to give up your life. Okay, and that's because of a pasuk, v'chai b'hem. And that pasuk is written by Jews. Right? So therefore, by Goyim, where it doesn't write that pasuk, you'd say is that the God said, don't do these seven things. So that's it. So I'd say it to go their lives. So why does the Gemara saying, are they obligated in Kiddush Hashem or not? Forget Kiddush Hashem. Don't do it with Kiddush Hashem. Don't do it sanctifying God's name. It just says they're not allowed to do these seven things, period. So you don't even need to get into Kiddush Hashem. Just say, what's the Gemara's whole question? It should be obvious. Of course, the God said, you're not allowed to eat Eiver Nechai. You're not allowed to eat the limb of a live animal. So God never said Ilachai Bahem to a guy. So therefore, of course, he should be obligated. Nothing to do with Kiddush Hashem. Just he should be obligated. He's obligated under all. There's no exceptions. Doesn't say any exception. Only the exceptions by a Jew. That's the question. Right? That's, is that your question? Okay. V'yesh lomar the dilma lo itzter chachai bahem elaki hechid lo neilt mishar mitzvos meyotzeh v'nai murasa dafil b'tzina yarg v'al yavar l'kulei alma. So he says no. You got to change your assumptions. Really, the assumption is that if God says don't eat treif, you'd say, of course, it doesn't mean kill yourself. So it means, assuming you're alive, don't eat treif. That's really the given. That's really the given. But I said, then why didn't you chai b'hem? So it says, no, because that's the given. Now the Torah openly says, when it comes to Gila Arayos and killing, the Torah teaches you that you're chayv to give your life for those mitzvahs. Okay, there's a limud which teaches you that if it comes down to killing or it comes down to sexual prohibition, you're obligated to give your life and not violate those. So now you would think, just like by those, you have to give your life, so too by all mitzvahs you have to give your life. Comes along with Chaybahem and teaches you, no, it limits it. It says it's only by those, but by all other mitzvahs you really don't have to give your life. But by a goy, where they don't have this limud that by Rotzeh killing of an Amrasa that says that they have to give up their life. So really, they don't have to give up their life. They don't have to give up their life. Oh, so now the question is, but are they obligating Kiddush Hashem? Okay? That's Tosa explains that part. And it's interesting. Maybe we'll take some of this stuff up, but it's a little complicated. If you follow it, good. If not, it's a side point. Maybe we'll end up taking it up, but it's a funny, it's interesting Tosa. It demands analysis in its own right, but I want to get to more basic things before we get to it. But you could look over the pshat in the Tosa. It's the bottom Tosa on Ayin Dalam Beis. So what's the Gemara saying? I have another question. What's the Gemara saying? So by Ben Noach, what's the conclusion there? If you say Ben Noach is obligated to give up his life, he's obligated to Kiddush Hashem, it's only the Farasya, right? So is that true? Is that the phenomenon that Kiddush Hashem is only before Asya? Let's say by Jews. Is that true? Is there Kiddush Hashem not in private? Yes. There is. Okay? There is Kiddush Hashem in private. So, we'll get to it. But there is. If a guy tells you to bow down tonight, to Avodah Zarah, just in private, you have to get killed. So what's the Gemara's answer? Oh, this is only in private. Private, yeah, but that's not true. There's no limit. There's no halacha that private that Kiddush Hashem is only in public. Okay, we'll see. We'll look at that. What? For the rest of the mitzvahs. So that's what we'll get to. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it by a Jew. What I'm just saying is, but we're talking about Zara here. Right? So who came up with this premise that the Kiddush Hashem by Avodah Zarah is only in public? It's not true that way by a Jew, so what's the Gemara's answer? So apparently it's different by a Jew and by a guy. Seems so, right? So let's look at some. So that's the case. I think it's not really that wise to get into the details of how exactly the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem applies to a guy. You have Tzina and Farasya, public and private, and which mitzvahs, if we don't know about Kiddush Hashem by a Jew, at least a little bit, right? mean, it's like a derivative question. Without studying the essential thing, it's on some basic level, it would seem to be hard to get into these questions. So it's compelling Gemara, and it raises compelling questions. It's very interesting. But I think we have to digress. Okay? So let's digress. Okay? And to do this, we'll do, I want to do the Yisodiyah Torah, Parakei, and Parakei, the first three halachos. Right, you guys follow why you have to digress here? Why that's a good methodological step here? Okay, it's just, you don't want to jump in. Kiddushim is not a Ben Noach institution. It's a Jewish institution, but maybe it also applies to Ben Noach. But, I mean, let's get some basic background. And you see, it's different, so let's get the basic, the starting point is the Jew. And then the Ben Noach is going to be somehow the same, different, similar, whatever, right? Okay. The Rambam says like this. Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. All of the house of Israel is commanded on sanctifying this great name, Shem Hashem. Shenema v'ingdashi v'soch b'nei Yisrael. Yisodei Torah, Hey Aleph, 5:1. U'musharim shalolchalo, and we're warned not to profane God's name. Shenema v'loschalo Hashem kachi. Ketzar, how is this? Right, well, how what does it mean? If a guy forces a Jew to violate one of the mitzvos, or he will kill him, ya'avor ve'al yehareg. You should violate the mitzvos. You should violate. Shenemar mitzvos ha'shayasos adam v'chay b'hem v'lo she'amos b'hem. You should live by them, not die by them. Ve'emeis ve'lova ha'izem eschay b'nafsho. And if not, if you die, if you give up your life, instead of violating the Avera, then you're, so to speak, Chayav Misa. Okay? Which you're dead already, but it means like you deserve your life. Okay? It's interesting, by the way, Rabbi Zucker already noticed this, is that the Rambam starts with, Allah Kesh Hashem, what does it mean? If a guy forces you, then you should violate the mitzvah. I mean, that's not exactly the primary instance of Kesh Hashem. You think of anything, the other way is the primary instance of Kesh Hashem, that you give your life for the mitzvah. Not that you save your life, right? I mean, what kind of Kiddush Hashem is this? That you eat treif, right? But it's funny. He starts, you would have said, he should say you give your life for these three. Oh, but the other ones you don't. But he doesn't do that. He says, Ketzad, how is it? If he tells you to violate the mitzvahs, you violate. But now, halacha beis. That's for every all mitzvahs except for the big three. But for these three, avod zara and sexual prohibitions and killing, if he tells you to violate them, then he'll kill you. You give up your life. Okay. So that's basic. The first. So I say that's the first basic halacha. Okay. First basic halacha is the big three versus all the other ones. Okay. Big three, you give up your life. The other ones, you don't. Now the Rambam continues. Ba medvar mamurim. When are these things talking about? Bezman shagoy miskavin lanas atma. This is the guy is intending for his own pleasure. Kigon shanasa live nosel beis of a Shabbos. He's forcing you to build his house on Shabbos. Alavashal toshil to cook for him. Alanasi shilabala. But they rape a woman. Kiyotzibaza. That's for their own pleasure. Okay, so then that's the halacha. If it's the big three, give up your life. If it's not the big three, don't. Okay. If he's actually trying to get you to violate the Torah, okay, this is the second case. The first case for his own pleasure. Second case is if he's trying to get you to violate the Torah. Then the distinction is like this: if it's in private, there aren't 10 Jews there, then you could violate it. So if he's trying to get you to violate a mitzvah, right, but it's in private, then you could violate the mitzvah. Okay, assuming again, this is not the big three. Okay, but if he is trying to get you to violate the mitzvah with 10 people, 10 Jewish people there, then you have to give up your life. Even though it's a different mitzvah. Okay, so if he's doing it, the difference is if he's doing it, again, this is the second case. The first one is for his own pleasure, big three versus everything else. And if he's doing it in order to get you to violate the Torah, then if it's in front of 10 people, 10 Jews, then all mitzvahs you have to give up your life. So if he tells you to eat treif, in order to get you to eat treif, and it's in front of 10 Jews, then you have to give up your life. Okay? The big three, it doesn't have to be in front of 10 Jews. The big three is even, it doesn't have to be in order to get you to violate. The big three, even if he's not trying to get you to violate, even if he's doing it for his own pleasure, you can't do the big three, period. Give up your life. But if he's getting, but by the other ones, so it depends. If he's doing his own pleasure, fine. Let him do it. Then do it. If he's doing it to get you to violate, if it's in private, also okay. But if it's in public, then you have to go up your life. Okay? Fine. That's the second case. Second case is, again, where he's doing it in order to get you to violate. Okay, one more case. V'chal ha-dvarim ha-ilu, and all of these things, shelo b'shas ha-shmar, is not in a time of destruction. Okay, persecution. Now, b'shas ha-shmar, time of persecution, v'hu shi'aman melech rasha, ki nebuchadnezzar v'chaveirav, where Russia, evil king, gets up like Nebuchadnezzar and his friends, v'yigzer shmar al Yisrael levant el dasam, v'mitzvah v'mitzvah, and he sets up persecution on the Jews to knock out their religion, or even to knock out a mitzvah. You have to give up your life. A few alachas mishar mitzvos, even on a different, not the big three. Bein enas besochasar, bein enas bein elavengayim. Whether it's in public or in private. Okay. Okay. So that's the third thing. Is if it's a shas hashmad, I'm persecution, then it's any mitzvah even in private. Okay. So it's about zarin. Just to summarize, the big three, you always have to give up your life. The other mitzvos, it depends. If it's for his own pleasure, violate it. If it's to get you to violate, just to get you to violate, so then if it's in public, you have to give up your life. Private, you don't. If it's a shas hashmar, time of persecution, then even if it's in private, you have to give up your life. Okay? Alrighty. So, the question is, the basic question is, what's the deal? Okay? What's the system here? Right? And what are these rules? There's a lot of rules. Right? It's kind of easy. It's not that easy, but it's kind of easy to sort of formulate, you know, to remember them and to just get them in a neat, you know, picture. But what's the sense to this whole system? Right? That would be nice to be able to do, right? Okay. So you see, by the way, now my question is verified. That when it comes to Avodah Zarah, it doesn't matter if you're in public or private. Right? This whole public-private thing is only relevant by other mitzvahs, but part of the Zara is even in private. So what our Gemara is saying is that even if you would say that a guy has to give up his life for the Zara, it's only if it's in public. So why is that? Right? Okay, good? Okay. Now let's read the Sefer Mitzvahs together. Okay? Let's read the Sefer Mitzvahs. Okay. Does anyone have any pointed questions on the Rambam? Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, you see from the Rambam that if it's the other mitzvahs, not the big three, and he's doing it for his own pleasure, it doesn't matter whether it's public or private, because he only brings in public or private if he's getting it to violate, if he's trying to make it violate. Apparently, if it's just doing his own pleasure, who cares if it's public or private? Right. Okay. Oh yeah. By the way, of course, one thing we have to explain is what's the svara for the original question? Is does our guy am obligated to get a sham or not? Right. I mean, ultimately, that's what we'd like to. That's what we're starting. What we started with here, right? Okay. Okay. So let's read around in the sefer mitzvahs. Okay. Unfortunately, I don't have the kafach sefer mitzvahs, which is better. Okay. But
Is it online?
I doubt it. But you could see. Maybe it is.
Aren't some of their
So it says like this. I'm just going to, you know, it's more, I mean, because I guess the idea is, why are we doing this? Why am I doing this? It's there?
Yeah.
The kafa.
Yep.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so the idea is basically, you want to know, we want to understand the idea of, thank you. Understand the idea of, it's mitzvah tas. The idea of Kiddush Hashem. So what's the whole main idea behind Kiddush Hashem? What's up with Kiddush Hashem, right? I mean, a lot of detailed questions, but like, what's the oomph? What's the essence of the mitzvah? What's it all about, kind of thing, you know? So that's why sometimes it's a good idea looking at the mitzvahs. So you know, talks a little bit there. Okay, and he does. He talks a lot. So it says like this. Okay, so now actually I'm reading from the Kafach one. It's online. Okay. So it says Hatzivoi Shemeslavin Al Kiddush Hashem. It's a commandment to Kiddush Hashem V'Omer Kiddush Yisroch Bnei Yisrael. V'ini mitzvah zu. Okay, and the idea behind this mitzvah, the idea of this mitzvah, She'anu mitzuvim lefarsem das ames zu b'rab. We're commanded to publicize. We're commanded to publicize this religion in public. I'm sorry. We're commanded to publicize the true religion, this true religion in public. And we should not be afraid in this regard from any damage, from any damager. Ad she'afilu yavo eleinu anas. So much so that even if a forcer comes upon us, all right, it's like a strong forcer, and calls us to deny God, lo nishmalo, we will not listen to him. We'll give ourselves over to get killed. Afilu lo nitein lo lachshov shekafarnu. Afsha, we should not even let him think that we denied. Afsha libeinu mamin bo yisala. Even if internally we really believe in God, but we shouldn't give the appearance to this forcer that we're denying God. Okay? That's right. What you'd say is, look, I'm just saying it. It's just words. I'm just spamming down, but I don't really deny God. But no, still. Okay? V'zuhi mitz kiddush Hashem shenstav b'klei Yisrael. Kol b'nei Yisrael. This is the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem that all the Jews are commanded. And kolomar shenimtzor sasmein olamos b'yedei aretz alav asa yisala. V'ha'emuna b'yichudo. So that we give our lives to be killed at the hand of this aggressor, for the sake of his love, the love of God, and the belief or the commitment to his oneness. Kimo she'asu Hanani Mishael v'Azariah ben Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, she'chriach l'shtach l'tzom. Like Hanani and Azariah, these three guys, they gave up their lives. They were saved, right? But they gave their lives to in the hands of in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, when he forced them to bow down to an idol. V'shtachavu kol b'nei Adam, everyone bowed down to this idol, even the Jews. V'lo yishem v'kadesh Yisrael, no one was sanctifying God's name. V'lo yivakach cherpa gadol Yisrael. And it was a big disgrace to the Jewish people. Sh'avda mikulam mitzvah zu. But this mitzvah was totally lost from them. V'lo yishem mishem v'kayim osa ela kol pachado. And there was no one who was going to fulfill this mitzvah. Everyone was afraid. Okay? And then these guys, right? Nechamish Azariah stepped up. Okay? But he's describing how bad it was. It was a disgrace for the Jewish people. So that's the mitzvah, is that we don't do that. We don't give off that impression. This mitzvah is only knowing like that type of a strong situation where all the world was afraid of it. And we're obligated to publicize it, his oneness, and to announce about it at this time. And it's already promised at the time of Yeshayahu that the disgrace of the Kal Yisrael won't be complete at that time. Okay, it won't be totally disgraced. That we will rise from us like youths, young men at that time. That the death won't overtake them. And they'll give over their blood. And they will publicize their belief and they'll sanctify God's name in public. Okay, so it's basically saying it's a prediction in the Navi that this will happen at a time that even though there'll be a time where they will totally devastate us and embarrass us and everyone will give in to their avod zarah, there will be a time, there will be people who will step up to the plate and publicize God's name. And he quotes the passage, So it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which basically saying is that don't be embarrassed, Jewish people, because I see in the future, as a nevuah, that there will be a young man who will stand up and do Mikad Hashem Hashem. Okay? It's funny, it's a whole long speech here, right? And it's for this purpose that I took you out of Mitzrayim. For the purpose that you will mekadesh my name in public. By the way, it doesn't say here, it's talking in front of 10 Jews. I mean, maybe it is, but I mean, it seems to be the all the world, right? It's showing the world, right? It's not saying 10 Jews. I mean, even if that's halacha, it's not. Doesn't seem to be the point. And then he basically has our thing, right? The thing about the Ben Noach, he counts, shows that it's a mitzvah. Right. Okay, fine. And that's it, basically. Okay? So that's basically what's going on. So the mitzvah is... it's funny, he's not really talking about the details of the mitzvah, right? The details of other mitzvahs, or about, the big three, even. I mean, he's basically talking about the one thing, is they force you to deny God. Which you could argue about Zara, right? About Zara, then you have to basically publicize God's name, publicize the truth of the Torah, and your commitment to the Torah, you can take it, yeah. And, not bow down. Okay, that's the main idea, is to teach the world that idea. Okay, and even to the point that you're willing to give your life. Teach them the idea of God, even so much so that you're willing to give your life for it. Okay? Fine. Okay, I don't have any questions. I'm more just, informative. Any questions? Some say it says, it's run by Ben Noach. It's Nehelz Malachim Yud Beis. Ben Noach, Sha'anasa, Anasa, Barachas, Mitzosav. So Ben Noach, someone forced him to violate one of the mitzvahs. Mutter lo lavar, he's permitted for him to violate. Afilo nenas avar vodzara, even if he's forced to walk very bad in the vodzara, worship vodzara, okay, he does it. So if you say any mitzvah, don't get a sham. Right? Because they're not the number two, don't get a sham. Okay? Pretty clear? It's funny, the end of the halach. Lo olam einon shem him lo katam lo chesh lo shatel, if you say any mitzvah. You never punish if a child or a deaf or a fool. Because they're not subject to mitzvahs. It's funny, I don't know what they do with the first part of the halacha. But whatever. Just reading it. Okay? So basically, even though it's Zara, even Ben Noach is not, but that's what we're paskin. Okay? We're on paskins. Okay, any questions? Okay, so we got a lot of homework here, right? Okay. So I guess hopefully we'll do this next week, right? So next Thursday, I'm not going to be giving shir. I think. Yeah, I think I'd like to start. The first thing I started is what's the Rambam? Is the basic. I mean, we could use the Sefer Mitzvah just to give us a flavor for what the mitzvah is, but there's no particular problem. But the basic question is, what if we unify these, the first three halachas here, the system of when you have to give your life, when you don't have to give your life. I think that's a good starting point.